they call this.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Douglas Newsome and Tyler Gallagher for another hour of Inner Dialogue. How are you doing, Tyler?
I am doing fantastic, Douglas. Thank you for asking.
Welcome to all our BBS Radio listeners.
Yes, welcome, BBS Radio listeners, which I hope the numbers are growing.
Oh, the numbers are always growing, in fact, Tyler.
I love that.
You know, the numbers have been growing so fast that our server network is playing games with us. They can't handle the capacity. Isn't that amazing?
I love that.
They're putting load limits on us and balancers on us because we have so many people coming to the website now. They can't handle the traffic.
I love that. Just in case any of the listeners don't know, Douglas Newsome, who sounds very alike to Donald Newsome, is one of the founders of BBS Radio, which I have the great honor and privilege of knowing and doing a radio show with.
Well, thank you, Tyler. It's good to be a founder of this network. You know, it's really a passion of love because it deals with a lot of spiritual material. And every day, I think about spiritual matter. I don't think there's a minute, well, maybe a minute, but at least an hour that goes by in a normal day that there isn't something that makes me think on a spiritual level.
I love that.
And I know the same is for you, Tyler.
A blessing. Yes, because of this show, constantly, my friend, constantly, subconsciously and consciously, always, I want to grow and have more things to talk about on the show, and it's just really challenged me in such a beautiful way, and I find myself at least once a week thanking God for the opportunity you've given me.
Well, Tyler, you know, one of the first books, Tyler and I were speaking, this is Inner Dialogue, and what we like to discuss is things that are of interest to ourselves on the inside.
Yes.
And when we do have these dialogues on the inside with ourselves, I think that's where we really start to grow and we become aware. And we're just sharing that time that we spend on the inside with each other through this show, Inner Dialogue. And we're really glad everybody could show up today.
Yeah, man, so much.
Tyler, I recommended a particular book to you. Do you remember what that book was?
Yes, The Disappearance of the Universe.
The Disappearance of the Universe.
By Gary...
Renard.
Oh, I got everything but his last name.
Gary Renard. This was the first book. You know, there are certain things in life, events, major events. If I were to say, pick the five most significant events in your life, you'd probably go, well, when I was born, or when I had a child, or when I got married, or when I bought my first home, or when I first started a company, or something like that. But sometimes the most significant events in our lives are the books we read. And they tweak us. They compel us to think along a different angle. And those angles can wake us up. This book, The Disappearance of the Universe by Gary Renard, was very significant to me. And what's ironic, this will surprise you, Tyler, but we actually had Gary Renard was being interviewed by Kate of Spiritual Hollywood. It's a show also on BBS
yes.
Radio.
Kate, who you actually got onto the network, right?
Yes. And Gary Renard is, and think of this, if you could meet anybody in your world, let's say you wanted to meet Santa Claus, because it was just so out of the realm of possibilities, right? Well, one of my dreams, since I read that book, because after I read that book, something occurred to me, and I refer to it as a kundalini, and that's as far as I'll go with that, but I've always dreamed of meeting Gary Renard, or at least speaking with him, because I think this man had the only other book that may be as significant as that book would be A Course in Miracles. So these are two very significant books. But that book was number one, and now I've been given the opportunity to potentially meet Gary Renard because he's moving to Southern California. And I'm on cloud nine thinking about that.
Santa Monica.
Mm. right.
Southern California, make it sound so far away.
Boy, what a treat that's going to be.
Mm.
You know, this book, Tyler, it's just to talk a little bit about it, is about the, and Tyler, what always amazes me is you. You amaze me because of the things that you stick to, that you think are important, and there's certain things, and you always stick to them. And you know what? It's the same things that the disappearance of the universe finds important. For example, the elimination of the ego. That's paramount.
Really?
Paramount, and the idea of forgiveness.
No way.
Those are the two biggest keys to collapsing time.
Wow.
And that's why they call it the disappearance of the universe. I guess when you make things right in the now through forgiving other people, You actually don't have to go through the karmic responses, lessons in the future. So you, in essence, don't have that future learning, so you collapse it. It's no longer necessary for you. So, in fact, you don't create a time bubble which says, okay, in this future time bubble, we got to teach you something.
You have to teach. That's so interesting. Huh?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Really interesting.
And the bottom line in the book is that once every single person does this, then the universe disappears. I mean, we can't, 99 out of 100 people can't do this, and the one person not. Everybody must be carried forward for this disappearance to occur.
Now, why would you want disappearance of the universe?
Well, why do we want to go to heaven?
Hmm.
In our higher state of awareness, is there a universe? Maybe that's just one-dimensional understanding of ourselves.
So let me get this straight. So he's saying if we were all able to do that, every single one of us, then this journey on Earth would no longer exist.
Well,
needed.
Well, this journey, the idea of karma or polarity may not be needed.
Hmm.
Okay? But I think there's so many other learning lessons outside of the idea of polarity and karma, though it'd be hard to imagine. I mean, what learning environment could we possibly be put in that doesn't have opposites that could teach us?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not so brilliant that I could figure out a way where that's possible.
Right.
But that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think it's very profound. I think that, you know, our first show we had that whole discussion. I think, and you know, I got to tell you, it's one of the things that always sticks with me, man. And it's probably one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced. Was the ego, first off, being able to finally see it. Like, I was blind, man. I did not see this ego. I mean, I heard about it. You know, I had a definition for it, but I never saw how much it affected my life. So I think that's wonderful that that's in the book, because I think that's one of the most powerful things one can ever do spiritually is eliminate the ego or, you know, put it under shackles and have control over it.
And how you do it, Tyler, way you do it, it's almost natural to you, because when you see yourself in that egoistic situation, you separate yourself. You say, ah, that's not me. It's kind of like you say, ah, that's a different thing within me. So you separate the ego from your higher self, and there you can become aware of it for what it really is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have waged war on my ego, and it is a constant battle, man, every day.
There, you know, that book is, if I would encourage every person in the world to read that book, and to read A Course in Miracles, but there's one other book, there's actually a couple other books, but one other book that I think's the top three books in the world, the books that'll make you smarter. I say smarter because it'll make you more fulfilled, more loving, and I think that should be our measure for intelligence. But there is one other book, and that was written by Esther and I believe
Jerry Hicks.
Right.
You read my mind. You know what? That just confirms how powerful those teachings are. Because I got to tell you, funny that you said that, because I've never really heard you as a big, you know, I've never really heard you talk about the book as in our personal relationship and, you know, me knowing you thus far. It's so crazy that you said that, because I truly believe I was going to add that to the list if you didn't add it, that those are some, that book, The Ask and It's Given, is probably one of the most powerful teachings available to us today.
Yes.
Via a book.
Those three books are beautiful. And if somebody has a year they want to take off for their life, or a month they want to take off their life, and give themselves the possibility of infinite love, higher awareness, a possible kundalini, at least insight.
On the law of attraction, read all three books.
Read those three books. You couldn't give yourself, you couldn't give three better presents in the world to anybody.
But, you know, it's that discipline to sit down and actually read the book and to, you know, absorb it.
Well, those books are so good. You know, I've read the Bible. I really have. I've read chapters.
Really?
I've read children's renditions. I've read
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. But
I've read the picture Bible we had growing up, but I've never... you know what I did, actually? I made a promise. No. Actually, this is a true story. There was a turmoil time in my life when I was a young man. I believe I was like 13 years old. And I remember getting a red Bible from school. And I remember reading the introduction that there was a guy who made a promise to God to read the Bible every night. And I made that promise to God, and I kept it for 3 years. I read a page from the Bible every night.
Well, let me ask you a question. When you were feeling blue or really low, or you had a question on your mind,
yeah,
and you read the Bible, did you feel like it answered you at that exact moment in time?
You know, I got to be truthful. I think...
No, right?
No.
I'm sorry, but
yeah,
these
no.
other books will do that. The Bible never did that for me.
Yeah, because at that age, truly, yeah, to be honest, and, you know, I say it with the utmost, you know, respect, but, yeah, it was hard to understand, you know, the terminology, brethren, and so I think it was just something for me, kind of an agreement I made with God, and it was more of that. I never really got anything out
right.
of it, weird enough.
Isn't that in? Well, these
yeah,
other
well,
books are the
no
kind
picture.
Of books that if you have a blue day or a blue moment or a happy moment, it's almost like the minute you sit down and you read it, it touched you in a way that specifically answers that question or gives you or fills that particular need within you that makes you whole again. There aren't many books in the world that can do that. I don't know of many. Those three are particular because they think they're of the highest good.
You want to hear something crazy? Ask and It's Given, I've read it like three times. And it's so funny, I've only read, there's two parts to Ask and It's Given. There's like the main heart of it, and then there's like all these exercises to attune yourself with who you are and, you know, and I never read the second part. I've never finished it. The second
really?
Part with all the exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, I got a tape program because reading for me, I mean, I get distracted sometimes. I'm one of those guys that reads, and then I'm like reading, but it's not registering. You know what I mean? And then I'm on like three pages later, and I don't even know what I just read. I'm one of those guys.
Well, maybe you're more visual, too, or more auditory.
Yeah, quite possible, because I was going to say, I got the tape, the CD of Ask and It's Given, the book.
Mm-hmm.
And my big thing is, you know, I play video games, but I'll play, like, the CD. And every time I kind of hit turmoil in my life or things were kind of getting rough, I would play those CDs. And it was like a religious, like, playing them. Like, I'd play them all, not religious, but I'd play it all the time. And my journey would always change in a beautiful, magical way. But
yeah.
Very, even on the tape, man, on the CDs, it's very powerful teaching.
When I meditate, sometimes it takes me 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get to a higher plane where I really do lose myself in a blissful state.
Now explain that to me. I'm so interested in that. Explain losing yourself of a blissful state.
Well, it's almost like a humming. If you can imagine working out with your arm, and then sooner or later your arm gets kind of tired and you feel it, you feel your arm. You can actually start to feel the muscles in your arm.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with the energy in your body. You actually start to feel it. And then you transcend the feeling of it. It's almost like when you tell your body to relax, then there's a nice warm feeling. It's not really warm, but you can feel it kind of relax.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might feel like wind is blowing on the inside of your cells, like somebody's just carefully blowing and you're buzzing and you're kind of vibrating. And then you'll carry that upwards. And then sooner or later, you'll reach a point where you'll go past all that, and you'll be at one where there is no real vibe. It's just a state of being. It's hard to explain. You just go beyond the need for a feeling because you are.
Let me ask you this. I've had some experiences with meditating. You know, since doing this show, I mean, it's been one of my biggest things, is meditation. It's really getting focused all the time. And I do meditation in the morning, but sometimes I'll do it at night. Like, if we have the show, sometimes I'll meditate before the show. And I got to tell you, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I've been having some different experiences. If I meditate in the morning, Doug, I don't know, I'm in it, but I'm not as, in it as I would be. But when I do it at night, I got to tell you, if I do it in the morning, right, 20 minutes, I get to a place where what happens to me when I'm in a deep meditation, Doug, is I feel my body starts rocking back and forth. I get tears sometimes. Like, I'll get tears of, like, if I'm in a really... Because I like to I learned this actually from you, strange enough. I meditate on getting what I've asked for in life.
Yes.
Or just feeling the love. Knowing one of my biggest things is I picture everybody and everyone I've ever encountered wanting me to succeed. And all this just outpouring love them. I get tears. But anyways, if I do it in the morning, it takes me like 20 minutes to get there. Now, if I meditate at night, Doug, within 5 minutes, I'm in deeper than that meditation. I'm in meditation where I see blue, like an indigo color.
Like purple spots, and blue.
Purple and blue spots. And there's like a traveling. Like, I feel like I'm falling. Sometimes my arms and my, you know, I get like tingly. And I was wondering, can you explain why this happened and what the difference is?
Well, here's what I can tell you, that in the daytime when I meditate, there's always the presence of light during the day, okay? So you don't have to create the light almost. Okay. Almost the light always seems to be there, so you can meditate to that warmth and that energy and that light, and it makes you feel really good. It's like going out and seeing a beautiful day and having a sunlight hit you, and it takes you away and makes you feel at one with, let's say, the earth. But at nighttime, it's almost like you have to create your own. Now, what I do, and because I learned, this happened to me because of my kundalini. I mean, I can't equate it to how other people get there, but I turn on a light. It's like I can focus in absolute. This is how I know I'm reaching higher state of beings, because I feel that light, and I focus it in different parts. Like, one time it might start on my right ear and then go around the back of my head, and then it'll glow outwards like a brilliant sun is behind my back. And it'll be distinct because it's more noticeable to me because I'm in the dark now, right? But during the day, there's light always there, so when you reach that higher bliss, where it's a little different again. I mean, it's the same thing, but I got used to doing it in the dark to create that light, and I became more aware of it. But I don't think there really is a difference. I think you can do it at any time of the day. I really, and as a matter of fact, I think you should do it at both times of the day.
What is that that I'm experiencing then? What is that? Why am I hitting a quicker meditation at nighttime, a deeper meditation at nighttime versus when I wake up?
Maybe because your body is already, your mind is already at somewhat at peace. You're starting to quiet. You realize it is the evening hours. You're able to fall into your deeper self quicker because the distractions of the day aren't going to be. Like, when you're during the day, you know that the next hour you're going to be probably doing something else, or 2 hours
That's
into the future.
That's so true. And right? You know what? Now that I think of it, when I am in the morning, sometimes by habit, I wonder if I set my alarm to get me up from my meditation.
Exactly.
Oh, man, that makes so much sense. Whereas at nighttime, I'm completely free of everything.
Yeah.
I have nowhere to be. I could meditate for a couple, 12 hours if I wanted.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. I never understood that.
You know, I wanted to talk. Last week, we had a guest on the show.
Yes.
BBS Talk.
And I haven't listened to the show. I feel terrible because I should. I haven't listened to the show yet.
You probably didn't miss much.
Oh, yeah?
our show sucked, folks. Don't listen to the last episode. No, I'm joking.
Why don't you fill us in then on what we might have missed?
But, well, you know, one of the things that came up about 2 days prior to last week's show, so about 9 days ago, was a show on Discovery. Now, you know that I don't watch TV, Tyler. We just don't have cable there, right?
I do. Unless it's UFC, then you're all over.
Unless it's UFC, and I don't. I'll break down doors.
To
That's right. I gotta have it. But here I saw a show on Discovery, and it was about how we've mapped out, let's say, 10 or 11 different species genome sequences. You know, basically what our DNA is or how it reads.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing these experiments on chicken eggs. And you're going to find this fascinating because it blew, I swear, Tyler, this confirms what I already kind of felt.
Really?
But it's putting it in terms of evolution that's going to surprise people.
Really?
What happened was they found out that a chicken is like a dinosaur, and what you didn't need, it's not evolutionary process that creates the chicken into the dinosaur, but a reversal of that process. It's kind of like the chicken is already the dinosaur early. But later it starts to lose those traits because of its evolution currently, so it goes into a progressive state. So, for example, let's say a chicken has a dinosaur tail, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't. So in the beginning, a chicken might have 20 vertebrae on its tail during the first week or two.
Yeah.
And then in the second week or however long it's taking to germinate, it loses all those parts of its tail to maybe only have five of those bones in its tail. So
really?
It actually starts out with the dinosaur tail and reverts back to the chicken tail.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And they've done studies on this. They've not only done studies, they're doing it on the scales, from feathers to scales, from wings to hands of the chicken.
No way.
I swear it. They say with it that, you know how a long time ago they said we could never make a dinosaur?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're finding out now that the dinosaur DNA is already within the chicken.
Really?
Isn't that interesting? What does that tell you? So the chicken has the DNA of every species it's been before it was a chicken.
Wow, that's complicated.
That's complicated. Well, that's why we only maybe use 10% or 2% or whatever of our total DNA sequence.
Wow.
So what they do is, let's say they want the tail to grow longer within the chicken. What they'll do is they'll give it, I guess, a certain protein that generally they put in to make the chicken stop cutting its tail short, but actually continue to produce its long tail. So they just they put this little protein in there into the chicken they cut a little top of the chicken egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they inject this protein that they, like say there's 8 or 10 different proteins, and they finally find the one that says, okay, chicken, instead of, when you start getting those 14 bones on your tail, rather than reduce that in your second week, just continue to allow it to be. And they found a protein that would do that. And it's the same with the scales. Like, initially they have scales like a lizard, for example, on the legs.
Yeah.
But then later that same keratin that creates the scales, which also creates the feathers, they just say, okay, continue to create those scales rather than the feathers, and now the chicken has scales. Like a lizard.
Interesting.
So they believe now we don't need to find a dinosaur DNA.
To create them.
To create a dinosaur.
Hmm. Well, why would we want to create a dinosaur?
Well, what was interesting to me was, as human beings,
they could destroy cities.
Well, what if we are, if we evolve, right?
Yeah.
And I believe in creative evolution. You know, it's kind of a combination.
So you are believing that humans can change their form.
I believe that we can personally, through thought and through action, our DNA is changing every in the now at all times.
Hmm.
Okay. I believe if you weightlift really hard, you give yourself a buff body and you have a baby, the baby's more inclined to have a buffer body than if you did something else. Why? Because your DNA is changing and evolving to meet your specific state in the now.
That's so interesting.
So that's why if you really want to have children, make sure that you're probably your peak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever you are in the now, that DNA is likely to continue forward into your children on an evolutionary as an evolutionary byproduct, let's call it.
Let me ask you something. This pops into my head. You're talking about evolution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about children. What are your thoughts on indigo and crystal children?
I believe they are a product of an evolution in consciousness that is changing the DNA. And I believe there are children now. And I think it'll become ever more profound, by the way. Next, they'll have the star children, and after that, they might have the superstar children, okay? But it's a process that is now, I think, evolving us faster and faster and faster to a higher level of awareness and consciousness.
Now, what is your definition of an indigo child? What would define you meeting children that would make you go, this kid is an indigo child?
Every single one of them. Why? Because
an
indigo child,
I'm
that
would... asking you, how would you be able to define an indigo child, say you met one?
I wouldn't. You know why? Because I'd empower every child with the idea that it's an indigo child. I believe on many levels, the idea that if you think you can become it, you can become it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just as true as if you were born with genetic capability to have predisposed to have it.
Well, just to let you know, too, indigo children, one of the biggest things they preach is that they aren't special and that everybody has the ability to tap into.
Exactly what I believe.
But how would you define one? If you met, let's say, a normal child and then an indigo child, what is the difference between those two?
Probably, bear in mind, I don't deal with a lot of, my brother has four children.
Right.
And I don't go out of my way to meet them.
Indigo child is just the name for it. I know, and we both know, a 63-year-old indigo child.
Well, to me, that's almost like saying there's Republicans and there's Democrats. How do you tell the difference between, no, or worse, there's black people and there's white people. How do you tell the difference between the two? Well, why is there a difference? Is there a difference? When we start to say there's a difference, then I think we propagate the idea of, let's say, an idea like a racism. Understanding on children to say what defines an indigo child and what doesn't, I don't think that's so smart.
Here's the thing, though, and that's, I fully agreed, sir. Here's the thing, though. I'm not saying indigo children are better than other children. I'm just saying, how can you tell if you have an indigo child in front of you versus a normal child? Just like, you know...
Probably because they can tell, they feel, you can't lie to them.
No.
They feel your energy quicker. They're more transparent. They like honesty. And they are probably, in many cases when they're young, maybe angrier to some degree because of all that information overload.
And what do you feel with this phenomenon? Because there is more in our lifetime, our indigo children being popped into the world. They say, you know, out of every, 10 children, at least one is an indigo child. That's how common they are these days. What are your thoughts on that? You're talking about evolution and DNA. You know, I got to tell you, something like that interests me so much. What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts are that it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. It's so strange because I really enjoy YouTube, right?
Yes.
And I don't know. I always find myself, I find like YouTube as a video Google. So I always find myself YouTubing and I saw this video today on indigo children, and it was It was quite interesting, man. It was a really truthful discussion about, you know, people, like parents, pretty much, and them experiencing, you know, their child and, you know, their kind of indigo qualities.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Of course.
When I say to you, what do you think of people that consider them Mensa, the Mensa? Okay, you got the Mensa and you got everybody else. What do you think when I say that?
I actually don't know what the Mensa is.
The super smart people with an IQ over 135. Let's say there's a club for super smart people, and I go, okay, there's the club for smart people, and then there's everybody else.
Here's the thing.
What do you feel when I say that?
Well, I would first off say that I think indigo children have more of a high EQ versus IQ.
But even if it's a high EQ, or it's a high IQ, or it's a higher anything than somebody else, doesn't that create a distance?
Here's the thing,
groups.
Though. Only if you make that child, right? Because let me tell you this. You've got someone with a high IQ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus someone with a high EQ.
Mm-hmm.
Both serve a purpose. Both are going to impact this world in a massive way. And, you know, they're just going to have different journeys. Someone with a high EQ is, you know, going to impact, you know, a lot of people on a communication scale, on a, you know, gathering groups of individuals and teaching them what they know. And, you know,
let's say he gets 30 years old and he has an event that occurs to him. And before he never had a high EQ, and now he has unlimited EQ.
Well, first off, I think unlimited.
How do you qualify? What if he was in the very beginning qualified as no EQ?
I think that EQ, unlimited EQ, is a funny statement because that's like unlimited IQ.
But you can't limit a person to, I think, a category. Like, I would say recognize that within all of humanity now, within all of humanity now, there is a propensity to grow in awareness and love.
Let me ask you this. I find this trend with you, and I'd like to call you out on it.
Okay.
Do you have, is this a skeleton in your closet, or is this an experience from your life? Because I find in discussions that I have with you, you know, especially in listening to our radio programs, there is something in you which is always jumping on a judgment, but not on you judging them, on you going, that's a judgment against this group, right?
Yep.
I have never once said in EQ or IQ that one's better than the other.
Right.
But I have mentioned, Doug, that there it exists. There are people with high IQs. There are people with high EQs. They all serve their purpose. No one is better than the other. But I think that for you to be oblivious to that and go, no, there's no EQ, IQ, I have unlimited EQ, and this is that. No. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, this individual is black.
I agree with you, it does exist.
You know, it's not. He's not better than that.
Just like polarity exists.
But he is like that.
Just like the ego exists, but we're training to get rid of the ego.
Just truthfully.
So, but bear this in mind.
Because a guy like you, hold on, and you can relate to this, a guy like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a high EQ. You can crunch numbers like no other, and you know, data is like your best friend, right? Whereas there's individuals who can never do what you do, right? And there's one in your company that I know of personally, but they're so good on the forefront, you know, on building relationships, on selling what they're doing, on, you know what I mean? On gaining people's trust on you know, on monumental levels, but all on an EQ level of an emotional level. Whereas, you know, but you guys work hand in hand. Do you know what I'm saying? There's no one better than the other, but I got to tell you this. If I have a strong right hook, I would like to know that I have a strong right hook so I know that that's my knockout punch. Whereas if someone said, no, your right hand's just as strong as your left, and here I am punching, wasting my punches with the left, you know, never knowing that I can knock people out with my right, I would really like to know what my strengths are. And and I'm not saying, you know, so I can be better than others. I'm just saying so I can be the best that I can be.
I guess
you know what
I mean? Many ways what I'm trying to do is take, because bear in mind, polarity does exist. Ego does 100%, exist.
100%, of course.
But we're trying to overcome that. Now, on some level, I try to leave it up to the individuals themselves to make the choices rather than to classify a person before they make the choice themselves. It's just a more open way of being, that's
all.
Yeah,
of course. How about take polarity out of this, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, these are given facts. There are children coming into this world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love you guys to YouTube this if anyone gets a chance. And it's so beautiful. It blows my mind. And, you know, there's a 10-year-old. Her name's Akine, or I probably...
Akiani.
Yeah, Akiani. And she's 10 years old, and you've seen these paintings.
She's older now. I think she's like 13 or 14
now. Of these paintings, she's doing, like, profound paintings at 9
We've interviewed her. I asked her to actually have her own show on BBS Radio.
Right, and that's phenomenal. But I'm trying to illustrate something here. You know, you've got her. You know, I was watching this video, and you know, there was this woman talking about her child, and now her child said that I'm grandma somebody, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like told her mom that she was like a grandma somebody, and she came back. This kid, all on her own, kid like at 5 years old, you see this little kid, and she's like just learning to talk, and is telling her things about, you know, because she obviously knew her grandma, right?
Mm-hmm.
This little girl's telling her mom experiences that just her and her grandma had together and telling her verbatim exactly what happened.
Well, I got a question from you.
Telling this experience, and
how can,
I got to tell you, I really believe
how
there,
can,
that this, you know.
How can Akiani exist and you exist when everything is one? How can anything be separated and be distinguished from the they can, and it is here in a world where I go come back to the idea of polarity.
I got to tell you,
in a perfect state where we're all parts of the whole, I think on many levels we are the whole. The higher in awareness you are, see, I might not separate myself and to say, oh, there's an indigo child over there, and there's a not indigo child over there, and this person's got high computer smarts over there, because I know as my awareness level jumps up, I'm all three of those people in one.
Douglas Newsom, have we touched this soft spot here, a little sore spot?
No, I'm just
it's
trying
so
to
funny.
Go beyond the limitation of words.
I love how defensive you are. Let me tell you this. Douglas Newsom, first off, in our discussions, there's anyone who should know this, we're all here leaving our reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you enjoy vampire movies, right? And in your little
reward...
Yeah,
there's one coming out tomorrow called 30 Days of Night.
Nice.
I can't wait.
Now, let me tell you this.
Okay.
In your world, in Douglas Newsom's reward, because we're all living our reward, right? But at the same time, contributing to each other. You know, we're not just here to have a selfish... I mean, we're here to grow the world.
Yeah.
And to do our part. We're all here for a reason. Every single individual, right? Let me tell you this. In your reward, you love vampire movies. So I'm sure you started to really like some actors. They've really stood out for you.
No, I was joking. I just kind of was particular to them when I was younger. But
the point is, for everybody's journey, different things fascinate them. So you know what I mean? So, yeah, I hear what you say with, you know, we're all equal, and that, you know, in a perfect world, I'd love that. But I got to tell you, we all are equal as in we came from the same.
You don't want to be equal, Tyler. You know what I love?
Exactly. We all have different gifts for different reasons that pertains to enjoying our reward.
Have you ever heard of the idea of projecting what it is that you on the inside are reflecting? So when you say, Doug, there's really a sensitive spot here, there is more separation than you think there is. I find on some level that within you, that special idea is paramount. And by the way, Tyler, you are special. Let me tell you this, and I need you to hear this. It's not your fault.
Oh, Douglas Newsom, I love it.
You know, you ever seen that movie, Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Not your fault.
You're a funny guy. No, but I am having a serious. I want to make a serious point with you, my man.
I know you are.
My man.
I know you are.
Okay.
Okay.
Akiani. How do I say your name?
Akiani.
Akiani. All right. Is one hell of an artist.
And a poet.
And a poet.
And a writer.
Amongst others, writer,
mm-hmm.
poet, artist.
Painter.
Painter, artist. Brilliant. And that is going to serve its purpose, which will unfold in her journey. Okay?
Indeed.
You, sir, from a young age, you know, you talk about me being special. Let me tell you, sir, you from a young age have raised money for companies and became a millionaire a couple times.
And don't like
at
that.
At a very, very young age. Right? And you became very good, I've seen you, sir, with crunching numbers and spreadsheets, and you just have a way around numbers and figures, and it's unbelievable. No one can even catch up to that strength of yours, right? But and that doesn't mean that you're better than somebody else. That doesn't mean, you know, Akiani is better than anybody else. What I'm saying is it serves their purpose. I truly believe the gifts you have been able to, you know, have tied into bigger pictures.
Sure.
And we all tie into bigger pictures. Every single individual here has something innate and special about them, and that is kind of a roadmap from your higher self to what you're to do here.
Well, it takes,
and if you
it
follow
makes
your
the
gifts,
idea of one a bigger one. It, you get to lead infinity to a new point that is distinctly your own. But,
absolutely.
And
but
by
add,
the way, that's
on,
what
I
makes
gotta
it.
Add, I got to add, because you know yeah. me, I get brain farts and I forget. So I got to add.
Sure.
And I think that sometimes in a world where polarity, or I call duality, exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have good and bad, hot and cold, blah, 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 ego, blah, 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 all these things, part of our human experience in our, you know, our human armor, our suit of armor, someone can see Akiani and how beautiful of an artist she is, and then them, you know, forget about their talents and what's beautiful about them and just wish that they had what Akiani has.
Now you're going to love why I brought up the initial part of the conversation
and
today.
And I think that that is wrong, and they got to find their, not that it's wrong, but if only they saw their real gifts, saw that they, you know, Akiani was
what
even
if I
than
told
them,
you
that she serves a different purpose than them.
What
and
if
everybody
I told
fits into this, you know, this world?
Tyler,
here.
You're absolutely right. By the way, there's nothing wrong with what you say. Truth is evident in every word that you're saying.
It's truth what
but
I say.
When I think of the idea that on an evolutionary standpoint, you can reach into the DNA that allows you to access all of the, let's call the idea that there is a past and you've reincarnated in an infinite number of times from a one-celled amoeba or whatever you want to call it all the way through to where you are now. So you can call upon the structure within yourself to be all of those things. That's, I think, the capability of humanity in the future.
And I get what you're saying. You, let me, because you like to talk.
So could I have been an Akiani at one
exactly.
lifetime and
so
a Tyler Gallagher
terms,
of another lifetime?
Exactly. So
and,
in layman's terms, you're trying to argue that, hey, I could tap into Akiani, Tyler, and what Douglas taps into all in my life.
Right.
Right. And I, you know what, I'll tell you this. I believe, Douglas, at some time in our evolution, we will be able to. But I think at this point, that's blocked from us for a reason. And I think right now where we are on the journey, I think that I don't think to the extent of an Akiani. I don't know. I would be interested in seeing that happen because I just think where we are.
Don't you have to believe it
evolving,
for it to be true? Remember, in my meditation,
I'm someone though that also, you know, I've been blessed. I would actually say I look at logic as well, and I you know, I've
well, you know, how does
it,
how does an idea when I've meditated?
I would throw the challenge,
Tyler. You threw a challenge
say,
out, and I'm going to try to explain an answer.
Hold on, I'm going to throw a challenge out. I'm
well, now that you've had a brain
you,
fart,
to
yeah,
paint
I want
like
to
Akiana.
Well, okay, here,
prove me wrong, because
okay.
I don't think it's possible.
I'm going to try. That, you remember when I told you there? When I've meditated, I've reached different states of being. One of those states of being was that rather than be able to see one picture, you know how every all of us, we focus on one object at a time. If I put two objects in front of you, you're still going to focus on one of them. It's impossible to see both pictures in the same amount of intensity because you're focusing your intensity to one, towards one point. But what if I told you that if you reached at one point, I've never been able to do this twice, but in one point of my meditation, my brain opened up where I could see an infinite number of pictures in a 360-degree circle all at once. And I could define each and every picture as if they were all being seen at one, you know, at one time, but they were all distinct, they were all separate, they were all being viewed instantly at the same time.
BBS World, in layman's terms, Doug is trying to explain what Akiyana sees and how he's able to tap into it.
What I'm trying to say is I can't do it. I can't do it on a daily level.
You're trying
to
tell us that you've seen it, and if you wanted to, you could tap into it.
No, I don't know if I'd love to if I could.
I challenge you. I think
I don't know if how much
ego is convincing you. You can paint,
Tyler. It's not an ego. It's a form of awareness that you tap into, and sometimes you can tap into it. Sometimes you can tap into it frequently, maybe sometimes just once. It's like a near-death experience. Don't you think those people want to have that 24/7?
No.
Of course, they want to see the bright light 24/7 and be in it, but they can't. It's given to them a moment in time. Now, within each of us, we have that ability to be a part of anything we wish to be or have the capability of any other human being alive. Within ourselves, we have that capability.
I got to tell you this. I am going to throw it out there right now, and I'm going to have an explanation to why I believe this. I don't think that anybody could tap into, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't think where we are as humans right now, where we are, you know, evolving, you know, we've only started to learn, you know, to use 10% of our brain. I don't think all of a sudden we're going to be using 90, but I think it's all for a reason, and this is why I say. If I knew how to paint like Akiyana, act like Robert De Niro, crunch numbers like Douglas Newsom, invest like Warren Buffett, I had every possible strength in the world, spoke all the languages, knew everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I don't think our world would be served as much as it is. I'll give you an example. I think that there's something powerful about working on one thing. Do you get it? So Akiyana, she knows she can paint, and in her lifetime becomes a master. Do you know what I mean? And she serves, she has this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody could do everything, we wouldn't know where to fit in, and there would be such confusion. And I think that, you know, our higher selves, this DNA that we've mapped out before we came here, it shows us in our strengths what we're meant to do.
But don't you think you had a choice? Before you came here, you could have done all those things, but you decided in your choices, this was what I wanted to be predisposed to, and these are some of the understandings I needed to grow with. So you put yourself in a certain environment with certain variables, with certain limitations to accomplish your choice. Don't take choices away from people even in the now. The now, you still have those choices.
Yeah, but you know, I got to tell you, Doug, and you can experience this. This is something you can actually relate to.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many countless people out there. And it makes me wonder, and I'm not judging, but this is a perfect illustration I think we can all relate to, and we've all seen, you know, American Idol is the greatest example of this. I think that we need to be honest with ourselves and with our gifts and what we have.
Hold on, right?
And I think that there's so many people out there who go against their gift, people who are like, listen, you know, I love singing, and, oh, I'm a big singer, and, you know, they sing terribly, and they're it's like, it's beyond terrible, but they've convinced themselves that they're amazing singers, and they've literally set themselves up for heartbreak over and over and over, and it only gets worse because they start alienating everybody, and soon they're only friends with themselves. And Doug, you can attest to this because you help with the music end on BBS. You have seen this firsthand, and you've experienced this firsthand, and I think that's just one. I'm sure there's many, many others, but it's one example of not being true to yourself and not being honest with yourself and being like, no, I have the choice. I want all of a sudden sing. And I think singing is such a gift. You either have it or you don't. I don't think to be a Mariah Carey, to be these legends that, you know, you can go from, William Hung, you know, with the she bangs on American Idol. These people who literally think that they're one, well, William Hung doesn't, but there are individuals, if you watch American Idol, who really, truly believe they have talent. And, you know, we're looking here from a third-person view. We have nothing to do with them. And we're like, I don't think so.
On the inside.
You can attest to this. I've heard you,
pal. On the inside, we appreciate great diversity, and sometimes that diversity can't be appreciated by one or another of us. I hope that when you have children, which I know you will, Tyler,
of course,
that
man.
within whatever they desire to become, that you'll always empower them, regardless of how bad the tune is that they bring
will,
forth.
But
I agree.
That being true,
but these
to
very
ourselves is very important in finding.
But
our
how
truth.
Old are you before those truths are real? How old do you, are you 60 with enough wisdom to yourself that you can say, this is what I'm limited at? Or do you find that when you're 15? Why would you want to find a limitation at all? That's my question.
No. I would say, no, then you've heard me wrong. I'm saying find your gift and strengthen it.
Or how about find your love and become strong in that?
I would fully agree with that. That's a brilliant statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I know you
I'm
are.
Just
and by the way,
that
you're absolutely right. I swear it. Like, you know, Dolly, you never say anything that's wrong. Honest to God, you never do. I just like to throw these things out, these little curveballs, just because they're fun for me.
Yeah.
But you never say anything that's wrong. And to be honest with you, I do know that you have propensity to be very high on an emotional level. That can read energy even much better than I can. And on a mathematic level, I'm probably more tuned to be able to deal with numbers than you are.
Yeah, I will.
That's plainly evident. It's not
too.
Like Peter, you know, my partner in the beauty company,
yeah.
I would never have the capability to be out there and to be so creative with cosmetic products like Peter is.
Right.
Or to cut hair like Peter. See,
yeah.
Everybody has their unique gifts and their strengths. But when they love something, when you find something you love, if you have a singer out there that sucks, and you know, you just got to turn them off, but that person loves it. It's like seeing a Down syndrome person screaming, and he's so happy, he's smiling. You want to tell him he's an idiot. Hey, guy, you got 22 chromate, and you're just one short. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to say, look, that sounds so beautiful. That's the idea. And by the way, if you want to know the difference between an indigo child and a wise child, an indigo might have the feelings, but a wise child will say to the rest of the world, it will empower it. Oh, you sing so good. Oh, you're so beautiful. So is an indigo anything more special than a person who can empower somebody else more out of love? I don't know.
I got to tell you, so well put. Very, very nice what you said. I agree. I think, you know, and we've had many discussions. It's about finding what you love doing, but I still think maybe we can sit on it for this week and pose it to everybody out there. What happens when, and you've had this, when you are ridiculous at singing, yet you have this love for it, or maybe you don't have this love for it and you have a jealousy of someone else who has it, and therefore you think it's a love.
By the way, I did when I grew. By the way, I have. I've had my jealousy issues. Now, I got to a point years ago, not currently, but I was jealous. I would find that I would be jealous of people, if they had somebody, you know, you see those ugly people with good-looking people.
Mm-hmm.
You go, what the hell's going on there? How come not me? Or you'd see those people that were super gifted, and you'd wonder, geez, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
It's because I never found my center or the beauty within me, so I couldn't see the beauty outside of me. I always wanted to see a separation of parts of me, and so I, to be honest, until I could see the beauty within myself, on the outside I was always jealous on the inside, and that was a part of my world. And by the way, that's a terrible world to be in. That sucks the bone. That sucks when you walk into a room and you see 100 singers, one sings super beautifully, and you go, gosh, I'm jealous. In my way, I'm not jealous anymore. I more participate in that person's euphoric feeling for having such talent. It makes me smile even far more profusely than I would when I was 10 years younger.
What a beautiful confession you just had. Thank you for sharing that, man. You really just opened your heart. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And you know, you just said something so profound, sir. If we all, right, tapped into our higher self and really got to know who we were, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, really, really took the time to get to know us, ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'd have that American Idol stuff going on if everybody took the time to get to know who they are and, as you said, center themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that world would exist.
No, they'd find it wouldn't. It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
They would almost, if they had a love for music, they would find out how to get into the music industry with their strength, because they would know what their strength is by knowing who they are and finding their center.
And they would empower everybody else. There wouldn't be any jealousy.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
You know, Tyler, I love you. We come to the end of the show, my friend. It went faster than it's ever gone
before. Always happens. Always happens.
Yeah, what a bummer.
Great. Great, great talking to you as always, my friend.
Tyler, you know, I love you, man.
Love
you're
too,
you're
man.
You're dear to my soul. You're a great man. You're an indigo superstar. You know this. And for all of our avid listeners out there, please take a moment in time, read a good book.
Appearance of the Universe, personally, just going to let all the people know, I'm getting it this week. And I'm going to give it a personal read myself, because I'm very interested in reading that, to be honest with you.
I am so happy, Tyler. And Asking It Is Given is a good one. And A Course in Miracles, any one of those three, start the read today. It'll change, I think, many aspects of who you are, at least make you aware of who you are. Until next week, same time, inner
same
dialogue.
Place. Have a beautiful week, everybody.
We love you very much.
We love you.
Really
bye-bye.
Do. Bye-bye.